Welcome to the Spin Access Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Duskins.
Today, we're going to dive into getting tired during a round of golf. It is probably the still end of summer, but still hot for most people. And you're out walking or hopefully walking. If you can't, then you're obviously taking a cart for most golfers. But how do you have those good rounds going and then you just feel like you're running out of steam? So today we're going to cover a couple of things, why that might be happening and how you can avoid that to finish off that great round and get it into the clubhouse.
You're running out of steam while it's steamy outside.
No doubt. It's been a hot one. It's been a hot one. So it's definitely a real thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll start off. For me, this is something that I battled with for many years. Proper sleep. I think it is something that a lot of people overlook because you just get into a routine of going to bed really late and then waking up too early to when you go to bed. I think it's something like you need 7 to 8 hours minimum to function. And I mean, I don't know how many years I got 2 to 4, which is really bad.
I think that's different for everyone, but most people underestimate how much sleep they need. You can go one night with 6 hours if you're a solid 7 or 8 that you need, but two nights in a row of 6 hours and you're already starting to feel the effects. You know, you can do a little bit here and there, but most people underestimate how much they need.
Yeah, it is so important. Sleep is where you repair and reset. And if you've got, you know, a couple of rounds of golf, go on, if you got your club championship and you go after the first round, you go out partying with your buddies and you have a couple wobbly pops and you get home late
there it is.
And then you do that again the next day, that Sunday round, that third round is just going to be real bad.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people feel like they can make up for it. You know, maybe I have a bad night's sleep and I'll just make up for it tomorrow. It's just not necessarily how it works. And I think I'm telling people all the time, even if you're riding in a cart, fatigue is going to happen in a round of golf, right? And I think all the studies out there talk through when we do fatigue, it's harder to access our skill. It's not because the skill leaves you. It's just you're tired. And it's sort of one of the things we see like in Major League Baseball, where you don't see as many pitchers pitching 8-9 innings like we used to growing up. Not because they can't, just because the science behind when you fatigue, you lose a little bit of your skill. And if you lose a mile an hour on your fastball in the major leagues, they're hitting it out of the ballpark. It's a very real thing where people will talk about, I was playing really good till hole 14 and then I had a blow up hole. And I just don't think they understand that sometimes it's not your golf swing. It's just your body is depleted.
Yeah. And I mean, it goes both ways. It's not only just you get like tired, but your brain makes bad decisions. And I've talked about this before, the anyways shots come out. And you just go, I'll just hit this. I haven't hit a draw all day, but on this shot, I'm going to hit a draw. And normally at like, you know, hole 2 or 3, you'd be like, that's a dumb decision. Let's not do that. Let's, you know, step off the ball, recenter, and then hit the proper shot. But you're just tired and you're like, let me just do it. And then, you know, it goes poorly and you double the hole and then you're frustrated and you spiral out of control. So it's not only just the body, but it's your mind that gets tired out there.
Yeah, and hydration plays a big role in your mind's ability to focus and think clearly. So it's not necessarily about being tired, but if you're dehydrated, then your brain does not function nearly as well as it should. I did a lot of studying on that in one of my last 2 years when I was coaching the college team, and they got a little annoyed by it, but I'd walk up to them and be like, when's the last time you peed?
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to, when you're playing golf, especially in college when it's, you know, 4.5, 5, sometimes longer rounds, you're supposed to pee every 6 holes. So even when it's hot and you're sweating a lot, that means you need to be drinking more. You should still be peeing every 6 holes or so. Once before the round, once after the 6th hole, once after the 12th hole, and once again when you're done. So if you're not hydrating, it may not be a tired thing, but your brain cannot think as clearly. You get a little bit of a mental fog. You might not notice it, but you see the results in the way you process things, the way you think through things, and the way you make decisions.
Yeah. In the military, we always talked about that, where if you ever got thirsty, it's too late. And the same thing goes for golf. Like, you should be constantly just drinking and eating. Even though you aren't thirsty, you need to be replenishing that. Because if you get to the point where you're just like, I'm a little thirsty, it's too late. You're already starting on the decline.
Yeah. And if you're hungry, it's too late,
mm-hmm.
right? For eating snacks, almonds, peanut butter and honey sandwiches or banana or whatever. Snacks on the golf course are important.
Yeah.
Which I think for a while was my daughter's favorite part of golf, the snacks.
Right.
Yeah, she played a lot of junior events where the rounds were not fast, so she had a lot of snacking done. And it was great. She had the, you know, cooler bag on the cart, and the snack, the pre-round snack picking was a finely tuned activity.
And it's important which snacks you go with, because they break down at different speeds. So for instance, like fruits, those are going to break down a lot faster. And you want to have obviously some stuff stored with carbs like the night before, like your pastas and stuff like that. And then your proteins are going to break down the slowest. So like if you start with, you know, your round of golf and you don't have a protein until hole 12, that isn't going to kick into maybe hole 17. It's too late. You know what I mean? And so you got to really think about like, when am I going to eat, what I'm going to eat, and is it going to last throughout the entire round?
Yeah, I have talked a lot about that here over the last few weeks, as in Ohio, the high school golf season has kicked off about 2 weeks ago. Not sure if this is a trend around the country, but in Ohio, the start of high school golf season is so front loaded because they're trying to get as many of these big invitationals in before school starts. Then get the kids on the course early and get them off the course. So I've literally had some kids who've played 5 18-hole rounds 5 days in a row over the last 2 weeks. And it's like, you're going to be toast by the end of the week. When it's hot out and you're out there walking, either carrying your bag or pushing your bag, you're not going to feel like eating. You're going to be hot. You're going to be, you know, you're not going to feel like eating. You're not going to feel like drinking because you're just hot and you're active. You have to force yourself to do that. And if you don't do that on day one, by the time day five rolls around, you're going to shoot a higher score than what you're used to, but not because you're playing bad. Your body's just gone. And it's almost one of those things where I'm sort of leaning towards, is it healthy to schedule that many of those invitationals for these kids?
Probably not.
Back to back to back to back like that. I understand why the OHSAA is doing it, but also at the same time, not sure that that's necessarily healthy.
Yeah. And I mean, for kids, they probably won't have the same need for this as some of us slightly older fellows here and ladies, but there's nothing wrong with taking some Advil, some inflammatories, like when you start warming up, because they're going to take a little bit to get into your system, and you want to basically have them running through, and especially if you're doing, you know, 2-day, 3-day, 4-day golf trips / tournaments, like just keep that in the steady incline, like that, get that into your body, keep that inflammation down so that, you know, later in the round, you aren't tight and sore.
Building a great at-home practice setup has never been easier. Advances in launch monitors, cameras, training software, projectors, screens, mats, and more make getting some quality practice in more practical than ever. Tyson, Jason, and I recommend you work with the experts at Carl's Place to create your own dream home simulator or practice station, as we've done in building out our academies and studios. Carl's Place experts will take photos and measurements of your space and optimize everything to create an affordable and awesome place for you to practice and play without ever leaving your home. As thanks for listening to the SpinAxis, you can save 5% store-wide with the coupon code SpinAxis. You've got to write it down because it's not going to be published on the web. At carloveet.com. That's carloveet.com. People will talk about how alcohol is a swing lubricant. It is not, okay? It is not a swing lubricant. It makes you care less about what you're doing, maybe, but it is not a swing lubricant. It is the opposite and deprives your decision-making, makes you more tired, etc., right? So everyone handles alcohol a little bit differently. I mean, heck, maybe there's an angry drunk golfer out there. I think I saw some Instagram videos of him taking off his shirt and talking about the wrath of God or something. But yeah, right. Anyway, yeah, I think that's what he said. Remember that video from last summer?
But yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, alcohol, not something to necessarily indulge in. If you care about your performance in the round, not going to help you keep up your energy during the round. One of the things too that I think people will do is, I've talked about this before, but you know, they have a feel, they work on the range, they're warming up, they're doing a good job of warming up, they're figuring out what their ball flight is that day. They're like, okay, if I have this my swing feel today, I'm gonna hit this shot, it's gonna be good. Every 2 to 3 holes, I like people to step away for 2 minutes while someone else is teeing off or looking for their ball if you're not helping them because they're on the other side or something. or whatever, when you have time.
Or you don't like them.
Right. And have a little practice session where you rehearse those feels again. Reacquaint yourself with what that feels like, because by the time you get to the 12th hole, it might be 3.5 hours or 2.5 hours since you last had a real practice session. So sometimes later in the round, you might not actually be that tired, but you lose the feeling of what you were trying to do that day on the golf course. You might be also tired, which might enhance that loss of feel, mm-hmm. but you might be perfectly fine. You might have done your job there with eating and drinking enough that you have your energy, but you're losing touch with what that feels like to do whatever you're working on that day or trying to do that day.
Yeah, you're just farther away from what that feel was, because there's time has passed. And so right. The farther away we get from it, the more we lose it.
And knowing that you might lose it is okay too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll often talk about, you know, you might start off the round hitting a little tight little draw. And as you get more and more tired, that might become straight. And then by 16 and 17, it might turn into a bit of a fade. And that's totally fine. You don't have to like fool yourself into thinking you're always going to hit the same shot throughout the entire round of golf. And all you need to do is just know what your tendencies are. So for me, obviously, as I start fading later and my body just keep getting tighter and tighter, it's going to turn into like a little slap pull fade. It's totally fine, right? As long as you know it, right? That's all that golf is, knowing your tendencies and picking smart targets and just, you know, trusting it. The feel might be the exact same. And this is what people don't understand. They're like, oh, well, so then I'm hitting a cut. Should I try to hit a cut? No, no, you just know that the draw feel is now going to hit a cut. You just keep the same feel. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, I asked some of my better players what they do if they have any strategies. And one of them gave me a thing and he said, toward the end of the round, I don't get as forward as I generally like to. So I stop trying to have a little shift off the ball and then go forward at the right time. He said, I might go forward late or I might go forward less. He said, it doesn't really matter to me which it is. So instead, I just, toward the end of the round, stay a little bit more centered. I don't try to shift off the ball 2 inches. And then I go forward during my downswing. So he's like, he doesn't change his ball position. He doesn't like move the ball back or anything like that, because that can get into all kinds of other compensations with squaring the face and timing there. But he said, I know I don't get forward as well. He had knee surgery too. So that might, yeah. You know, weaken or get tired or sore or something. So he just says, I just stop trying to shift off the ball a little bit. I might lose half a club, so I might compensate for that a little bit, but I just kind of stay centered and then go forward a little bit more. In truth, he still shifts a little bit off the ball. It's just not quite as big. It's not quite with as much of his body. So that's his compensation and he's aware of it. And it's important to note your tendencies. I think he just noted for a while that he was starting to hit the ball a little bit heavy and then maybe thin it because he didn't want to fat it. And so he asked one of his friends, who's also a good player. He's like, well, you're not like really getting forward as far. Or he recorded a swing. He didn't do this. His friend told him, but you could record a swing later in the round and in the beginning of the round and see what the differences are. Mm-hmm. I encourage people to record their swings on the golf course more often than people generally do, because the way you swing on the golf course is what you swing like. The way you swing at the range might be different. It's important to know how close the two are and what your tendencies are on the golf course versus at the range.
Yeah, for sure. Another tip for a lot of you golfers out there is take a cart, right? And like a push cart. I mean, take a power cart if you need to, but if you're allowed to, just, you don't have to carry your bag. Like we have the tools. You could throw it on this and off your back. Like,
let me just say this too. My college golfers, I made them all use push carts. From the first year we went to Nationals, the first year I coached, I made them all use push carts, and they pretty much every year hated them.
Right.
It's not manly. It's not macho.
Yes.
Right. Which is the dumbest crap. I'm like, so what? Blame me.
Right.
Be like, yeah, it sucks, but my coach makes me. I don't care. That's fine. If it saves you half a shot around, and it probably saves you more than that. I've seen studies where it's 1.5 to 2.5 shots around.
Yeah.
So it's not insignificant. But even if it was half a shot, that's half a shot around. That's 2 shots in a full round tournament. Okay. That's a few places up the leaderboard for everyone on the team. After college, though, when everyone gets jobs and they're not playing all the time and, you know, they're not just college kids and stuff, they all seem to buy their own push carts. Because they like to walk, which good for them.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Push carts are not the enemy. They do not make you look not macho. Okay. Just, and if someone else thinks they do, that's their loss. It's saving you some shots.
Well, I just had a couple of weeks ago. Every year I put on a junior tournament, and in my area had 14 to 18 year old kids. You know, right before the high school season, and I always know the kids that are showing up and never played in golf tournament before, because their bag is literally dragging the ground. It's over their shoulders, but the straps are so long, it's almost dragging the ground. It's
banging off the back of their thighs.
It's banging off the back of their thighs. And literally, once I get all the kids off and I'm out driving around, I'll spot a couple of those kids and I'm going back in. I'm getting a push cart because that kid ain't going to make it 18 holes. He's probably never played 18 holes in his life, and he's not going to make it if I don't go get him a push cart. And you just see this relief of, oh my gosh, thank you so much, right? And there's literally a couple of local high school coaches that make their kids all wear pants and they all have to carry their bag. In my own head, I'm just going, that's so backwards of what you should be doing. That is so dumb. To your point, I think a lot of young kids, they necessarily might not think it looks cool. If we can gain a half a shot, I don't care what it is. I'm going to try to gain a half a shot. Isn't that the point of what we're doing?
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing for a lot of people to haul that bag all the way around a golf course.
I once had a kid. Sorry, Zach. I'm going to say your name. You deserve it. I was playing lesson with him, but I had one of my college players along to help him because he was in high school and was going to be playing college golf soon. At the turn, I picked up his bag to move it onto something. I forget. Maybe I was putting it on a pushcart. And his bag was so heavy, we opened up his bag. He had 112 golf balls. Many of them were not hittable. Like, they were so dirty and scratched and cracked and, you know, whatever. He had 112 golf balls. That's a lot of weight. Okay?
Yeah.
Don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
If you're getting tired on the golf course and you have 112 golf balls or 57 golf balls or half of that,
right,
that might be too many.
That's okay. Amazing.
Sorry, Zach. You deserve it. He's a good kid.
That is so funny.
He's out of college. He's graduated. It was a long time ago, but 112 golf balls.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So
don't do that.
Yeah. Last tip is obviously I want you to play.
Just the tips from Jason today.
Yeah, just the tips. Yeah, just the tip. Real soft. Here's a good one for all you golfers out there who want to golf more. I want you to golf at least 27 holes every once in a while. And the reason for that is if you can get comfortable golfing 27 holes in a day, 18 is going to feel easy, right? Because you're not going to get tired. Now, you don't have to do this all the time, but if you especially have, you know, a tournament coming up where, you know, you're going to be playing a lot of golf, get a couple weeks in advance where you're going to play some 27 holes so that when it comes around, you're just like, oh, that's it. We're done. I don't have to play another 9 holes today. That's going to help you in the long run.
And you don't mean a par 3 course or on a simulator, just to be clear.
Correct.
That won't help you that much.
No.
Yeah, you got to build up some endurance, just like any other activity that we do. You get building up endurance means something. Yeah. If you can fit it in, you got to try to get out there and get it in.
Yep. One of the things I would say to my daughter when I was caddying for her, it'd be the end of a long day. You know, you start to get tired. You still have more in you than you think. So I'd be like, okay, we got a par 5 and a par 4 left, let's say. I'd be like, Matt, you need to give 5 more full swings with full effort. You can do that. You have that in you. Because the tendency is to be like, oh, I'm tired, and just kind of like not make a full effort swing. 5 full effort swings, everybody can go. You know, it's almost, unless you're playing a 36 hole day and 95 degrees of heat or something like that, pretty much you have 5 full swings left in you at any given time. So just say, okay, I got 3 holes left.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to conserve my energy and we'll be ready to go. And then I'm going to give it a full effort and go. Okay.
Love that. Love that.
Okay. Well, you guys have any other tips, or we wrap that up?
That's good. I think
pretty
so,
good. Yeah. Okay. So if you guys have any questions or you got any other tips for how we can help other golfers, let us know in the comments. We love hearing from you guys. Or if you have anything else you want us to cover in upcoming episodes, let us know. And you can always find us online at thespinaxis.com or on socials at thespinaxis.
Thanks, guys.